quiet and just don't act too mad. And just, especially in church, we have that barrier very often. Up there as well, but here as well. And if you've been or you came to this church for the very first time, and this church is a little bit more wilder than us, nothing wrong with them. Or even if you're a bit more conservative, nothing wrong with that. So on a scale to 1 to 10, I don't know where we are, but the 1 is not necessarily wrong, 10 is not necessarily wrong, but I just believe it's about the freedom that God wants us to have. You know? So at the end of the day, you need to think for yourself and consider whether you can worship in that freedom, because that's what it's all about. It's not whether you clap the hands or not, because that is just an expression, and there's all scripture for that. But I remember when I first came to a similar environment like this, some feedback here. I remember at that time, the very first time I had to clap my hands, it's a difficult experience. I mean, I'm not used to this whole happy clappy and all of that. So maybe you can identify with me this morning that first, it's quite difficult. But later on, the longer you do that, you kind of die to that awkward feeling of, even when you've been to Joe and Niemann, normally I see the concerts is easier, because then people think, oh, well, everybody's here, they know everybody's doing it, so I can do it as well. The church is a different thing. And then I sense that the Lord wants to take us sometimes a little bit further. It's a nice thing. Somebody says in front, let's raise our hands and we praise the Lord. And then suddenly the spirit of Lot's wife kicks in. And now I feel my hands are so heavy and sweaty. And I think, I don't know who's behind me, they're going to see my hands. So eventually we get to that place where we get it this way, about this height. And then as we continue to do that, this starts happening. Let me show you by use of an example. Gibson, you're going to be the clown this morning, okay? Can you stand here? Can I have 3 guys around you? Take hands. Guys, I know that's not romantic, but take hands. No, not his hand. Around him, he's in the middle. Turn around, Gibson. Okay. Gibson came to church the very first... he's prepared it. I didn't prep him yet. He knows where I'm going. I had to use Anton, and then I had to stop him. I couldn't stop him afterwards. Gibson came to, let's say, to Shofar Church for the very first time. He hasn't been exposed to this. By the way, let's start. Gibson came to Shofar. He's never been to this environment. So now we ask him, just, okay, let's raise hands. We clap hands. So Gibson, can you start with me? Now, Gibson's got a barrier around him of being reserved. Now, the moment he starts clapping hands, something's happening in his own spirit. Not where somebody can see, in his spirit. You experience that freedom. It's opening up around him. As we continue to worship, Gibson, carry on. We worship, and it's opening up. I want one of the guys to join the hands there. Make the circle bigger. Guess what's happening in the spirit? It's opening up the freedom that you and me are experiencing. By the way, you can relax. I won't do any funny thing with you. David danced in his jockey, so I won't go there. That's what he did with that is much worse. I won't go there. I wouldn't ask you to do that. But that's what David did. You can read the scriptures. His wife thought, oh, you're mad, man. You can't do that. David thought, no, listen, I've got freedom when I worship God. I'm dying to myself. It's not about being clowns here this morning or trying to to make a show. But as Gibson is worshiping, look, I didn't have to tell him, because I'm joking about us whites. We have a problem. We struggle with this, the dance. But I love our other brothers. They've got the beat. You don't have to tell them. Come on, Gibson. No, just walking around. Give us a bit of a... It's like you guys can do it early. Okay. So what's happening? We're freeing up ourselves. We're breaking the barriers. We're extending that. I promise you people, that's the truth. We can look at these people and we think they are mad or funny. I don't know what to call it. Whatever you want to call it. That's not the truth. The fact is, we all determine how much freedom you've got around you to worship. It's different for all of us. I'm not condemning any person that feels that they doesn't want it. But I'm trying to push the barriers, because it's setting the tone for where I'm going with the sermon this morning. Thank you. He can't stop now. Okay. Now you guys can line up here for me. Let's give them a hand. So we're freeing ourselves up, we're stretching the barriers. And sometimes I do honestly feel like that as well. I just want to dance right now. Then that voice is there. Now the people think the pastor is mad and crazy. You can't dance there. And I just, you know, when your whole body wants to worship, not just your mouth. Because I sense sometimes that what I say, what I sing, is just so limited. God, my whole being, when we sang that song, which that song would we sing? Second one. I'm Trading My Sorrows. We're going to sing that in a moment, differently. Okay. My whole being wanted to dance before God and just express thanksgiving to God. Okay. So now what I want us to get up, and we're going to warm up. Okay. I'm not going to force you to do. Please do not feel forced. They're going to help me here, and I'm going to dance with them. Okay. I don't expect you to dance. Please. I don't want to force you. Please. All I want you, if you've never clapped, or you just feel you just want to do this, that song that we played for the youth, I love that song. Okay, and we have the clip up again just to warm up. And guys, I wouldn't embarrass you. Relax if you think this is we don't do this normally, but the sermon is preparing us just to stretch that barrier a little bit. So can we just get that song up, and you guys gonna help and stand with me, yeah, like the youth guys did it up there. Okay, the rest of us, let's stand and let's just express thanksgiving and praise to God in a way that's not normally you. Okay. Even if it means you just have to adapt a little bit. That's all I'm asking you. You don't have to act mad. I'm not making a show here this morning. Please, visitors, I ask forgiveness in advance. If you feel like I'm pressuring you, I don't want to do that. But I'm also here this morning on display, and I feel like everybody's going to look at me. But we have to die in what people think about us. We want to give thanks to God. So let's get that song up. Let's just play that song, and let's just warm up and do something else that we do not normally do, just to warm up, and then we're going to sing that song again. Are you ready, Aaron John? That song of the...
We speak your name, we lift our eyes, tune our hearts into your beat. Where we walk, there you'll be, with fire in our eyes, our lives alight. Your love untamed is blazing out, the streets will grow forever bright. Your glory's breaking through the night. You will never fade away, your love is here to stay.
Right, now we're getting ready for that song. Just one more song, and then I'm going to preach. But then we've got the worst. Now we stretch the barriers, and what we're going to do after that is going to feel like fun. Okay? Do you feel it's like kind of a relief when you stretch yourself to that place? I know it's awkward sometimes. Guys, you've been great. Let's continue to do that song. I'm trading my sorrows. But trading your sorrows for something that is better this morning gives us reason to rejoice.
trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. 'Cause I'm living in time for the joy of. I'm trading my sin. 'Cause I'm trading my pain. 'Cause I'm laying him down for the joy of. We sing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord, amen. Ready? 'Cause I'm trading my sorrow. 'Cause I'm trading my shame. 'Cause I'm laying it down for the joy. I'm trading my shaking. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. We sing yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord, yeah, yeah. We see, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, and
joy when we come before God. Thank you guys. Let's give them a hand. They've been great. Okay, now you've done the worst that you could have done in the service. Probably you want to run. Can we just lock the doors for a moment? Give me 25 minutes maybe. Not even that long. What we're about to do right now through this service is going to be far easier. And now the barriers are straight. So what I want to ask you to respond with me as the Holy Spirit is going to direct us this morning in the service. And you'll experience His presence. You'll experience what He wants to do. It's so much liberating when we join Him. I want to talk about Thanksgiving this morning, and you'll see why I say this. But there's a story being told, actually, which is the truth, about a man called Rudyard Kipling that lived in 1865 till 1936. He was an Englishman, a poet, And he wrote a lot of poetry in some of his books, books like How Did the Leopard Get His Spots, Captain Courageous, The Jungle Books were written by him. And at one given time, he was so successful that he made so much money that a reporter one day came up to him. And he said to Mr. Kipling, "Mr. Kipling, they've made a study about your writings. And they figured it out. They calculated it. They said that one of your words is $100 or pounds. Ours is $100 here is different. But for the sake of the example." And he says, they made a calculation. They say that's more or less the worth of one of your words. So here's $100. Give me one of those golden words. And Rudy took the money from him, put it in his pocket, and says, "Thank you." The word thank you is certainly one of those beautiful words. But I think it's worth much more than $100 this morning. And even when we expressed our thanksgiving this morning and our praise, and whatever you put in the basket this morning, that $100 doesn't express what God wants to do for you and me and what He's done. We just can't. We run out of words. We run out of ways to express that to God. Yet God says, just show that to me. And it starts with here. They had a study. They made a study in the University of Nebraska. And they wanted to see what are the six characteristics that were common in strong families. And they came to the conclusion that the first, or I wouldn't say the very most, or one of the most common ones that they found in the families that were seen as strong or stable was the whole thing about appreciation. They found that in the families that were strong, do we have to change? We'll change over, because that's going to be the okay, that's better. They found that that appreciation is one of those things that they would find in the families, where people express their feelings, where they often say thank you, where they really show appreciation to one another. That kept the family together. They made another study. They found that in a work environment, that the ratio compared from appreciation to criticism is 4-1. For every one critical word you give or positive criticism you give, you need to give 4 words of appreciation for people to feel valuable, to feel, well, this is a great place. Don't you agree with me this morning? The same thing and how we experience it as a created beings from our living Father. When we want to thank you, not want to thank you, but when we appreciate that thank you, it works exactly the same in the kingdom of God. You know how you feel when somebody doesn't thank you and you've gone out of your way? You feel used sometimes. You feel, sure, man, I've really tried my best. And at least I didn't expect money. I didn't expect him to give something in return. All I wanted is just maybe just that sense of appreciation. Even sometimes, even if people can just express it without saying that. It's just the way they act. And in the kingdom of God, it works exactly the same. I had to look into this week, and I found that thanksgiving is the appropriate response to God's presence. Throughout the Old Testament, I see that occur several times, continuously. That whenever God turned up, the automatic response was, God is here. God, we praise you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. We do not take this for granted. You see, it's one thing to have a church service, but it's a different thing when God turns up. Can I get an amen on that? It's one thing to have a church service. And let me just explain this for you. I know some of us is, but God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. And that is Psalm 139. That's talking about God's presence
His almighty presence. But there's another presence that the Bible talks about. And this is what I'm talking about. The manifesting presence of God. It's a different thing getting up tomorrow morning, making a cup of coffee, opening up my Bible, having some quiet time. I don't know why we call it quiet time, because we have to actually express. Maybe we have to express ourselves more, but we have our time with the Lord, whatever you call it. But it's a different thing when I open up my Bible, I sit down there, and suddenly I'm just aware of His presence. I tell you what, no story, no part that I can read that can be dead, with all due respect, but when God is there, there's life. You know, when you sit there and you just meditate upon that, I don't know about you, I don't know, but when I experience that, it's just something, the only way I can express that is that you just want to drink in. God, this is just so good. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes there where you are right now. Because He's here. Just thank Him where you are. But I want you to do it a little bit different, just so that your spirit hear that. I know we think that. Do not think that this morning. Say that this morning, where you are. Forget about the person next to you. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, you are here this morning, Lord. You've got an appointment. Thank you, Jesus. We value you, Holy Spirit. Your presence. Thank you, Jesus. You're here. You turned up this morning. We invited you, Holy Spirit. You're here. We are so excited about what you want to do this morning, Lord. You joined us this morning, Lord. We do not just have another service, Lord. You're here. You're sitting right next to me, Lord. You're here. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We do not take your presence for granted. Thank you, Jesus. You see, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the city, he knew he had to make it priority to thank God. Because there was something about this. The Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence and God's manifesting presence that was there. Whenever they worshipped, let me put it this way. When they sensed God's presence, David instructed the worshippers to continue to worship and give thanks to God 24 hours. If you ever thought about that. Because David knew, as long as I continue to worship and give God thanks, God will just stay here. And it's like somebody comes to visit your house and you do not show appreciation. You are not excited. That person will eventually feel, well, I don't feel welcome here. And I'm not going to come uninvited again. Because that's the thing with Jesus. He comes in uninvited sometimes. He'll knock at the door. See, is he excited to hear that? Is he excited to hear my footsteps? Is he going to open the door? That scripture in Revelation 3:20 that talks about the knocking on the door. It's not about the unbelievers he's talking. It's talking to you and me this morning. That's saying we've accepted Christ. He's talking about his presence. You see, if we do not have a love and an appreciation and a thanksgiving towards God, an automatic response for that. If a believer, so-called, if you call yourself a son of God this morning, as a believer, as a Christian, whatever we name that this morning. If you do not have continual thanksgiving as in a response to His abiding presence, it might say to us this morning that the whole thing about abiding presence, you haven't had a revelation about that yet. And you might have to ask God, God, give me that revelation. Help me to understand your abiding presence. He's here this morning. He wants to make us aware of His abiding presence. That's why I did what I did in the beginning. Because we struggle. We struggle to get to open our mouths just to say, thank you, Lord. Let's just do the exercise and then the rest of this. Just where you are. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. You need to hear it yourself. Not the person next to you. You need to hear it yourself. Your spiritual man needs to hear that. I'm going to show it to you from the scriptures. That is a vocal confession, a loud vocal confession, not something we think. We need to say that unto the Lord. Say, let's just do it all together. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Just wait, just continue. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Blessed are your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Luckily, it wasn't the bucket. You see, when we give appreciation to God through thanksgiving, God just inhabits this place. He's like, this is great. They appreciate me. I love this place. I love the sound of this place. I love this atmosphere. I love this home where I'm so welcome that every time I turn up, they are so sensitive to notice that I'm there. And they express it, not just think it. Men, listen to this. I know you might have heard this before. Open your mouth and say thank you, because your wife probably told you that. Do not just think it, say it as well. Say, I'm looking beautiful. I love you, all of those things. Men, we struggle with that sometimes. We do not say that. I don't know why we have those barriers around us. God is saying, I want to stretch you this morning. I want to break that barrier so that we can live a life of thanksgiving, continually giving thanks unto God. God, I'm not shy. Thank you, Lord. You know, and apart from the fact that thanksgiving is the appropriate response to God's presence, it's the appropriate response to salvation. That is the foundation this morning. Friends, brothers, sisters, that's the foundation of our thanksgiving, our salvation. Say, God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that I'm saved. I'm grateful, Lord, that I'm out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I thank you, Lord, that it wasn't because I was smart, Lord, but because you chose me. It's because you love me, Lord. Just where you are. I know it feels like I'm pressuring you this morning, but believe me, it's a lifestyle. It's a habit that we have to create in our lives where you sometimes, where you are, right? We are sitting alone. You probably have to, or you might have to say that so that your spiritual man can hear and say, thank you, Lord. And I tell you, that's the place of departure for our thanksgiving. Every time when we get together, we must be so glad. We must be so excited. You know, it's a privilege to be here this morning. It's not a right. It's a privilege because God chose you out of the kingdom of darkness. He pulled you in here. He gave you family this morning. And you've got reason to thank him. Amen. Amen. That should be our foundation, our salvation. God, thank you. We forget about that so often. That's why the Bible, Jesus tells a story about the man that has sinned so much, he's much more thankful. And some of us, we think, well, it wasn't too bad, you know, when I met the Lord. I didn't do all that stuff that the other guy about the murders and stealing and all of that stuff. I was actually a kind of good man. And sometimes God needs to take you back to that revelation that sin is sin. I don't care this morning whether you stole and you murdered, or maybe you were just a good guy that grew up in church. Point of the matter is we all need him. And it all starts with salvation. And it's all sin to God. And God says, for all have sinned, Romans 3 verse 23, and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God there was a day in my life, 1991, one night in a concert, he called my name. Young boy, 14 years old. I remember it like yesterday. That night, that's why Joe Niemann's show was to me special as well. Because I can identify with it. That night, I got up. I know everything in me wanted to sit down. The same thing what we still do nowadays. And we think, oh, please, don't embarrass me. Before I could find myself, it felt like my legs walked themselves. I don't know. And I was at the back of that stage crying. I didn't know what's happening. Why am I crying and all of this stuff? But the next morning when I woke up, it seems like a new day. I still tried to figure this out, but that day God turned my life around. I know you've got a story like that as well. Where you were lost. You were going in the wrong direction. Or maybe you're here this morning. You've not had that encounter with God yet. Where you know that you know, if I die today, I'll be with him. Let's close our eyes here for a moment. I'm talking about this fact that we know that we know that we know that Christ is my Lord. While nobody is looking around right now, God is ministering to some people here this morning. If you know this morning that if you have to die today, you're not sure where you're going. There's a battle going inside of you. There's fear going on right now. You're experiencing tremendous fear right now in your relationship with God. You do not know. You're not certain. And while nobody's looking around, I want to give you the opportunity, just in the middle of the service, just to say, God, here I am. While nobody's looking around, I promise you, we're not here to embarrass you. We're here just to introduce you. Can you just give me an indication? Nobody's going to look around. Just raise your hand where you are. Say, I need a prayer. I need Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There's more people here. I know. Don't be shy. Nobody's looking around. Just you. Raise up your hand higher so I can see you. Thank you, Jesus. There's a battle on. There are more people. God is saying there are more. He's waiting. Thank you, Jesus. The rest of us, we just stay in prayer. I'm not going to call you to the front. Father, we thank you for everyone that's right now, just where you are, just believe. Say, God, I invite you. I invite you into my life right now. I realize, Lord, I do not know how. I don't have the answers, Lord. I came to a place where I realized, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I invite you in. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise him there. Let's just thank him. I know there's destinies that's been changed right now as we pray that. Where you are, just thank him. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for destinies that's been changed. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the author. You're the creator of new things. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You can just thank him where you are. Just give that appreciation to him. Everybody, let's all just thank him for our salvation. Even those of you that prayed that prayer this morning. Now we're all on the same page. We all have something in common here. It's our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want to hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. You have a purpose, a plan for my life this morning, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Korosatina satanda. Iro satana. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. David wrote in Psalm 107, verse 1, he says, O give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's so beautiful. You see, there's no greater motivation for any believer this morning than our salvation. I say, God, I thank you. This is where it all started. I thank you, Lord. I'm just so in love with you. You know, we do not have to wait for our circumstances to change. We often wait till everything is in place. I've got the job. I've got the girlfriend. I've got the boyfriend. I've got the house. I've got the car. I've got all of that. I've been healed from my sickness. All of that. My husband or my wife or this and this. My children and this will happen. And then we want to kind of show our appreciation. But when I read Jonah, and I see it in Jonah 2 verse 9, that Jonah find himself in the middle of the fish, in the belly of the fish, in the middle of the mess. You can imagine for yourself. I won't describe that this morning, what is in there. But it's a pretty bad situation where you would find yourself in the middle of that. I think when I look at Jonah's life, apart from all the wrong things he did, he did one thing right there. In the middle of that, Jonah started thanking God for his salvation. I said, Lord, thank you. I'm saved. Lord, I know I've been on the wrong turn, but Lord, thank you. Because Jonah knew something here. And I want you to see that. See, Jonah knew if he can thank God in those adverse circumstances, that God can turn it around. That's lying vanity. That even though he's in the midst of the situation, if I continue to give God thanks, God will give command to the fish to spit him out. Paul and Silas knew exactly the same thing. They sit down in prison, being chained up, and then they start giving praise to God. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. You're the God of... Amen. God, you are. Thank you. And what happens? We all know that story. God says, whoa, I love that. I love that praise. I love that thanksgiving. I know he's able. They are able to praise me in the midst of that. It's not about the situation around them, but he's able. They are able to look at God in spite of the situation and continue to praise him. And God says, listen, I got to send an angel down there to open up the prison doors. It's possible this morning that you might be in a situation where you feel captured and you do not, or you it's like the situation is putting pressure on you and you almost feel like you cannot praise God or there's no reason to give thanks to God. And God says, lift up your voice and give thanks to me. You see, when we start proclaiming those things, when we start thanking God for what He's about to do, we turn those lying vanities into something like the truth. And God says, I got to do something about the situation, because it's not about this what's happening around him or her this morning, but he's able to see that I'm in control of his life. And I'm not here this morning to tell you name and claim things. I'm here to remind you to turn your eyes upon Jesus in the midst of times when we feel we cannot praise God. That God will help us open our stinking eyes, I want to say. Our blind eyes sometimes, and just say, just get on. See what you've got. See where I'm taking you. And you know, this whole thing about our barriers around us, it's like an anaconda. What's it? A lace lung. What's a python? It's like a python around us, and it wraps around us, and it strangles us. And it kind of, I'm struggling to give thanks to God because the situation is just so bad. And God says, no, you determine to stretch that barrier. You can do that. And it starts with here. And that's why I said in the beginning, we reach a place sometimes when you give thanks to God and give appreciation to God, that you feel like, oh man, this is not enough. I got to do something more. My whole body wants to just express that. And Jonah realized that if he can do that in the belly of the fish, that will be the catalyst that will activate something. God's redeeming power to take him out of that situation. You see, the Greek word for thanksgiving is tauda, which means, I don't know if I pronounce it right, Carol, but it 29 times in the scripture it's associated with sacrifice. So God says it's a sacrifice. But listen here, it's not a sacrifice of bringing it whenever you feel like it or not. Because God is not interested in your gift. Let me just put it. He's interested in your attitude, the way you bring that gift to him. So do not just bring it because you have to bring it. God says, in actual fact, he says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You see, God wants us to, in the midst of that situation, to turn it around. And God, it feels like a sacrifice I'm going to bring you now. It does really feel like a sacrifice. I do not feel like that. But I'm gonna get my whole body in line. I'm going to get my whole spirit in line. And do it with appreciation. And do it with thanksgiving. And do it with a joy and gladness in my heart. Not just, thank you, Lord. Because that's what they told us. And that's what I heard on Sunday. But where our whole being gets in line to God. Right now, I do not feel like praising you and thanking you. And that is maybe easier said than done this morning, preaching to myself this morning. Because from time to time, we're not always on the mountain. If you're long enough a Christian, you'll know there are valleys. Thank God for the valleys in your life. Let's close our eyes for a moment there. Let's just thank God for the valleys. Thank you, Lord, for the times of trouble. Thank you for the adverse circumstances. Thank you. Just where you are, just thank you. Somebody is maybe going through that at the moment, and God needs to hear that thank you, that God is working something together for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not staying here. I'm not camping here, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like with Jonah, Lord, you have a plan of redemption, Lord, this morning. You have a plan, Lord. You're not out of plans this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're taking me to the mountaintop again, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, our thanksgiving or the love that we have for God is our motivation, ultimately. Although our salvation is our foundation, our love for God is our motivation to keep on saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The more you say thank you, if you ever notice that, you can practice that with your wife or your husband. The more you say that to one another, I love you, I appreciate you. There's something that's happening in here. Practice it. Do it to your children. You'll see what I mean. And if you've practiced that, you'll know what I mean. The more you say that, something happens in here. See, the more we say that, something happens inside. Something inside happens. And there's a powerful principle which I want you to recognize here this morning. That whenever we give thanks unto God, whenever we express that, by the way, apart from the fact that the Hebrew word means sacrifice, it also means a vocal confession being made out loud. A vocal confession for things that yet have to appear. Now this is good. A vocal confession for things that have yet to appear, same as with Jonah's case. It tells me this morning that you and me can start thanking God for the salvation of our loved ones. It tells me that God, thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Because Lord, I see that. Lord, I see that. I know it doesn't, I haven't seen it in the natural yet, but Lord, I see it in the spiritual. Just where you are, just continue to thank Him. This is where it gets good. When God says, thank you. Just thank me for that one that you've been praying for. I thank you for my children, Lord, this morning. I see them worshiping with me in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you see, I see my husband. I thank you, Lord, I see my wife worshiping with me in this house this morning. Jesus, we bless your name. Jesus, we exalt you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are just so good. You are just so faithful, Lord. See, our thankfulness will draw in the harvest. If we continue to be thankful. God says, you know, last time I sent them somebody, they appreciated that person so much. They welcomed that person so much. They drawn him into the family. I can send them more. But if we abort babies and we do like, and that's why the other day I was driving, you know. If I had to write the Bible, which I'm not doing and I'm not capable of. You know, there's one unpardonable sin. We all know that, sinning against the Holy Spirit. And if I had to add another one there, it's probably like following up not following up on a visitor or wherever God sends us. When we kind of forget about wherever God's bringing into my life for us to nurture, to bring up. When God says, listen, I've got this child of mine, this son of mine, he's down up there, he's lost. I want to give birth to a new thing in his life. Maybe I need to add him to this family. And we look at it as like, this is not for me. God help us that we'll never reach such a place. That wherever God sends us, in no and whatever means, we do not always know. And sometimes we get the babies with the stinky diapers. They smell. God, I don't know how to deal with this. But at least just trust God to show us along the way how to deal with it. We just can't never turn anyone away. Nevertheless, it's about the heart of thanksgiving. And I wanted to share this principle and then I'm going to close. You see, every time we give thanks to God, it's about the seed time and harvest time principle. When we start giving thanks to God, I say, God, thank you for the salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're busy doing something here. I recognize that, Lord. I see that. And God says, listen, I am God. I can't be outgiven. You just gave me thanks for that. You just sowed that seed. And now I got to give you something in return. God says, well, I got to act on it. And every time we give thanks to God, God says, I love that. I love that. I got to give them back. And God gives back so much more. Ephesians 3:20 that says, God is able. Look at that scripture. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Last week, I wouldn't go there. Last week, Sunday, we prayed, we had 20 more chairs we had to add into this place just so that God will just do miracles. And we're still trusting God that every single seat will be filled here in this room. Amen. I do not know about you, but I'm trusting God that we'll not have this. And I'm glad for everybody that's here this morning. We are attendance, but it's not about the attendance, it's about everybody that matters out there that needs to be here this morning. It's not about pumping the numbers and call it what you want to call it. It's about people that value, that God says, I want them here. I've placed you there with the reason. Start becoming thankful. Start thanking me for what he's busy doing in the life of that colleague of yours. I close with this story, and then we're just going to give God thanks for where we are. We got any of the band guys here? Just for some music. Is Clarence disappeared? Rapture. Okay, we're all here still. It's just Clarence that were taken away with the rapture. Let's all bow our knees and pray and say, God, include us. I want to go as well, Lord. There's this story about Jesus that heals the 10 lepers. I'm not going to read the story. You can read it yourself. Jesus meet these 10 lepers. He says, Jesus, heal us. So what does Jesus do? He heals them. And then they all leave. 9 never came back. And 1 came back. Where did he find Jesus? He found Jesus at the exact spot where Jesus did the miracle for them. It says to me this morning, there's a possibility in your life, in my life this morning, that Jesus might be waiting at the very last place. He did a miracle for you. He did a great thing for you. Waiting at that exact spot this morning. Waiting for you to come back and say, thank you, Lord. So that he can activate more of that. Let's close our eyes for a moment. And I want you to thank him just now where you are. Maybe some of you need to thank him for your salvation. Maybe if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to do that loud so that you can hear it. Let's just forget about the barriers. Forget about the person around you. It's about expressing that thanks to God. Say, God, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you, Lord, that I am this morning at a place where I know that I know that I know, Lord, I can call you Father this morning. And for some of us this morning, you might have to thank him for things that yet have to happen. Maybe it's for loved ones. Maybe it's for somebody out there that you love. Maybe for your marriage this morning, you have to say, God, I thank you that you're going to change things. I thank you that you're going to work in the heart of my husband, my wife. I thank you, Lord, that you're setting me free from this mess. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my children this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this situation is not going to stay the same. Let's just give him thanks where you are. Thank you, Lord. Give it unto him. It's a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus, we can do better. He says he's waiting for us. Jesus, thank you. Oh, yes, ora, yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. This place will overflow, Jesus. Salvation, the smell of salvation in this house, Lord. Jesus.
So great, Jesus, you're so great.